Just checking my watch here to make sure I don't go past 7:20? 7:15? 6:55? Good to see you this evening. Welcome, and a special welcome to our visitors tonight. Tonight we're going to talk about prison ministry, and we're going to cover a couple things, just a quick overview of 2019 in review, and then the 2020 plans. And if we would now, if you go ahead and go to the next slide, please. Why do we do this prison ministry? Why is this ministry? Well, we get that from Matthew 28, verse 19a, right? Go therefore, making disciples in all nations, baptizing them. That's what our Great Commission is. There's no limitations. It includes prison. It includes senior citizens' homes. It includes everything. So we're going to do that. And if you look down at the bottom of that slide, here's our specific. I was in prison and you came to me. Those two things are what we tie together for the prison ministry. And our prison ministry is based on one fundamental, God's Word. This is where everything starts that we do in prison ministry. But we can't make it by ourselves. We work with some other folks. One of the folks we work with is New Life Behavior Ministries. It's been around since 1984, and they produce faith-based life skill curriculum. Their most famous one is CASA. This is the workbook. This is the book we use for all the lessons. CASA, Christians Against Substance Abuse. But it's good for chemical, non-chemical, or any destructive behavior. Faith-based 12-step. The next thing that we focus on in the prisons is managing my anger. Notice there's a lot of anger management courses out there, a lot of programs, a lot of books, right? So what makes this one different? Two things. One, it's faith-based, and the other is it's not an academic exercise. It's managing my anger. The focus is on me and what I can do about it. And the third course that we teach up there, but in Northeast, is attitudes and behavior, the seven virtues and the seven deadly sins. This is fundamental to the other two. So you can see the Bible, New Life Behavior, and then there's another group that we collaborate very, very strongly with, and that's TPOM, Tennessee Prison Outreach Ministries. They're based in Nashville. A little over 4 years ago, they started a reentry center. And then a couple years ago, 2.5 years ago now, they started a men's transition house. And what's this for? It's to try and have a seamless transition once someone is released so they can come back into society and there's assistance in getting back in through the reentry. Counseling. What's new? All of the things that you may need for identification. And one of the biggest things that you really need, you need to have employment. You need a job. TPOM has over 300 felony-friendly employers in the greater Nashville areas. The average person going to the transition home in Nashville will have a job within 2 weeks, and the average wage was $15.50 an hour. This helps put the things in place so that the returning citizen can indeed be successful. And then the folks that we have to collaborate with, because we're in their house, is the Tennessee Department of Corrections. We're in Northeast Correctional Complex, two facilities in Mountain City, main compound that houses about 1,200, and then about 300 in the main annex and 180 down in Carter County. Those are the ones that we actually work in. So that's how we tie it together. And you can see there are some of the volunteers. You say, goodness gracious, what were they doing up there then? That was a combination graduation where two classes had come together, finished at the same time, and the warden and the chaplain agreed that we could have a combined graduation, and that's the folks that were there. Keep that in mind. Much of this conversation today is a recruiting drive. Sometimes there's a stigma about prison. Part of the purpose of this tonight is to remove most or all of that stigma that we may harbor. So this is a thing that we work on. Next one, please, Adam. I'm not going to ask you to read that. There's not going to be a test on what's up there. Look at the colors. Just look at the colors, okay? First column is Sunday. See the yellow? Yellow is either worship services or a new life behavior course or our synergy team meeting. So right now, on the first day of the week, on the first, third, and fifth Sundays, Main Compound, Main Annex, Row Mountain Annex, we're in there with worship services. Come over to Thursday. The yellow that you see there is we're teaching two new life behavior classes on the compound, and we're having a synergy team meeting. We'll discuss the synergy team in more detail shortly. The green is what's happening at the DRC, the Day Reporting Center. And you ladies got this started for us with a Bible class going on 2 years ago. If you want to know more about the details, talk with Debbie or Arlene or Linda. Jenny's involved. I'm going to forget some names, so I'm going to stop right now, okay? But that's how we got started at the Day Reporting Center. What's different? Northeast, the men are incarcerated. The DRC, men and women, that's not incarceration, that's programs that they go to. And so that's significant. If you combine the yellow and the green for 2019, there was 8,400 classroom hours in a program or a service. It's a significant number. In addition to that, what's not on there is four R&R seminars that are held each year, two on the compound, and one in each of the annexes. Our next seminar comes up this Friday. It's in the main annex up in Mountain City. It's on the meanest man in Texas. And one of the things that we'll be doing, and we have collaboration from other congregations, Dan Bailey from State Street's coming down to help us. And Chigs are gonna be helping, and Tim, and myself, and Thomas Snow is coming over from T-Palm. So that's what'll be happening this Friday. Please keep that in mind and in your prayers. Okay, if you could. Okay, look at the 2019 plans. That's what we'd planned to do. We said, can we get another new life behavior time slot on the compound in the first half of 2019? And we did. By the way, time slot is something that really controls movement on a prison. At a given time, everybody is at a given place. We have time slots on the main compound for worship services from 1:30 to 3 in the main compound and the main annex. We have time slots on Thursday evening for classes. We have a time slot for the synergy team. That's the way it all works. So we were able to get an additional class. What does that mean? It means we add 50 to 60 more men that will be able to graduate from a new life behavior class than we did in 2018. So we're very happy with that. We wanted to get at the main annex, we wanted to start a new life behavior class. There's a two-letter word up there in red that said, no, we did not accomplish that. The reason we didn't accomplish that is we didn't have enough people to have continuity to be able to commit to it. A slot is still open for us. We want to fill that slot. That would be teaching new life behavior courses. Then we said, let's get on first, third, and fifth Sundays for worship services. And we accomplished that. We were happy with that. and then expand additional coverage to the DRC, which we're very thankful that we were able to do that. That now, in addition to women's Bible classes, it has men's Bible classes, and it's got a Devo on Thursday mornings. How does a lot of this come about? Well, on the compound, now that's where the bulk of the folks are. On the compound, we have what we call a synergy team. Synergy was Tim's idea, and it was spot on. It comes from 1 Corinthians 3:9, for we are all God's fellow workers. We had had a couple of teachers' aides that helped us. But instead of having one class on Thursday night, now we have two. We had six tables, so Tim and I were there, a couple of teachers' aides. We were in pretty good shape. Now we got six more tables over here. What are we going to do? So Tim took one, I took one. One certified New Life Behavior facilitator was in one room. The other was in that. We only have two of those. And then we recruited 12 teacher's aides. This makes up our synergy team. We asked for a time slot to be able to meet with these people before class. The chaplain went to bat for us, and we got it. So on Thursdays now, 4:45 to 6 p.m., those 12, I made a mistake, those 14 teacher's aides and the two facilitators, and Tim and Jim Carden and I, or two of the three of us are usually there, we're the synergy team. What are we talking about? Well, we're talking about the upcoming classes, the curriculum. We're talking about how the students are doing. We're talking about what we may be faced with. We're talking about what went right and what went wrong. But we're also doing something else. We're taking 15 to 20 minutes of that hour and 15 minutes for leadership principles. The first leadership principle we had going back to the spring of 19 was seven habits, wasn't it? Seven habits of highly effective people. In the fall, we studied boundaries on the book, How to Say Yes and When to Say No. Actually, I've reversed that. It should be how to say no and when to say yes, I guess. So we spent that time. Now this spring, our leadership principle is a sense of self, which is another New Life Behavior course. So that's what's happening, and it's really worked well. We're faced with some changes. We had one man got transferred, another one got ill. We have one person now that's going to be going home literally any time. And we're going to have another person that may be transferred to another location. But we're so thankful for these men. That's the group right up there in 2019. That's the synergy team. We've added three for 2020. Man on the left, we got him. We're just tickled to death. He'd been through a couple of the courses. He was up for parole. He's going home in 14 days. So now we're going to need to replace him. The man in the middle was baptized not too long ago. He is a stellar asset to us. Another individual, very, very strong. We just don't have a photograph of him. But that's what that synergy team has made a whale of a difference. Okay? Next, please. Don't worry about the numbers. Look at that chart. This is baptisms in Northeast Correctional. Go over the 2009 when we started. You probably can read that one. It says zero. 2010 says zero. 2011 says zero. 2012 said two. And then we dropped off to one. And you look at that and say, what's going on? Well, we didn't have time slots for worship services until 14. We didn't get on the compound till 15. And then something miraculous happened. These R&R seminars that we were doing, Tim Hall, Dan Bailey, Chuck Stewart from Mountain City, Bill Haywood from Abington, they started helping in the R&Rs. And what we saw happen was between the R&Rs, worship services, the classes, we started building some momentum. This last year, 19, we had 14 baptisms, and in 2018, we had 13. We've had 38 so far. And so, you know, That's really is what has occurred in the last 2.5 years that drove that increase. And we feel like it'll continue to go. In fact, we know it will. We're planning as hard as we can, we're watering as hard as we can, and we're praying that God will give the increase. Now, that's just baptisms, and that's just numbers, and that's just of vertical columns shaded in, right? But what does it really mean, Adam? That's what it really means. Those are souls up there. Not all of them. Couldn't get them all on there. And if you'll notice, we had 12 men that were in protective custody or security management unit that we were not allowed to take photographs, and they were not allowed to come to classes. So we don't have photographs of those men. That's what you can see. That's why we follow Matthew 28:19, and that's why we follow Matthew 25:35. And something don't ever overlook, pen pal project. We may undervalue that, but I can tell you the men inside value it very highly. And if Tim and I have heard it once, we've heard it multiple times. You get mail, you feel like you hit the lotto. So what do we do? What do we do for 2020? We want to continue to strengthen our existing programs and services. We want to add additional Sundays to the various units for worship services. And we want to launch New Life Behavior classes in the main annex. Help is needed. To add another Sunday to each one of the units, we need 6 men. We've got enough to cover it unless 2 or 3 of us get sick on the same day, but we need more men for that. And the New Life Behavior class on the main annex, that's 2 folks. Now, we would take one that's already experienced. And then we want to recruit additional men and women for not just Northeast, but the Day Reporting Center. They made a whale of an impact over there. So let's take a hint from Paul in Galatians, and let us not grow weary from doing good. We spent a long time establishing continuity and confidence in Northeast Correctional Leadership's eyes, and we're seeing it pay off now. The fields are white. So let's do not grow weary, because in due season we shall reap what? If we do not give up. We don't plan on giving up. I'd like you to hear now if Huston could come up, he's going to share a few things with you, and then Jim Carden will. Thank you.
So Marshall asked me a few days ago, just to take a few minutes and describe kind of my perspective of the ministry that's going on at the prison. I think I've been going up helping with worship services for about 7 months now. And when I started thinking about how to convey what I see at the prison or my perspective on it, I realized that there's quite a bit that I have to say. And I feel like a lot of it, a lot of the emotion, a lot of the feelings you have up there seeing these men probably won't translate well to anything I could say to you. But I'm going to try to describe what I've seen in the prison ministry. If you were to ask me to describe the men that I see on the Sundays, which would be a question you would ask, because honestly, a lot of us probably don't understand what goes on at the prisons, the layout of the prisons, what the prisoners look like. If you had asked me a year ago, my understanding of inmates are mostly characters played by Morgan Freeman or Paul Newman. In reality, if I was to tell you what these men are like, I would tell you that these are men with strong desires for worship, and these men have an eagerness to study the word. And you see that when you go up. a lot of the times I'm at the main annex, just because there's usually a need, and I've started to gotten to know these men that worship there. And you see this desire and you see this eagerness when you come in and they already have the tables and chairs set up. And they've already distributed the song books and they're already flipping through to find the song they want to sing, which almost always is going to be Victory in Jesus and Amazing Grace. Those are two of their favorites. You see it through that. You see it in the wear in their Bibles and the notes and the highlights. And you see spines that are going to give out in a year because of all the material that they've stuffed in there. They hoard materials about God and being able to study the Word. You feel it in their handshakes when you arrive and when you leave. You hear it in their tone when they're thankful for you being there. And this desire and this eagerness, you see it rub off. It's very contagious. You see a man singing, and he's very into the singing, or there's something we're talking about, and he has a verse on his mind that he shares and a story that goes with it. And you see the other men react to that. And it's our hope that as we facilitate this growth for those that are already brothers, or if we facilitate the opportunity for these men to come and learn about Christ and to grow in Christ, we hope that they take that out, where there's going to be men probably not living as godly lives. But it's not just that. That eagerness and that desire to learn to worship, it rubs off on the men who go up there as well. I know it certainly does on me, hearing these stories, seeing them want to learn, seeing them want to grow. You leave there, and I'm always spurred to pray a little harder for them, to dig a little deeper in the Word, because you see this eagerness, and you want to be ready if they have questions. Or if there's a man who showed up who not be ready to worship, which is the case, and which is good. I hope hundreds of men who don't really know anything about Christ just show up, just have something to do, because they're going to hear the Word of God. And when you see that, you want to be ready if the need arises or they have questions. I also see when I show up, usually the first thing that any of them ask me is not how I'm doing. They're usually asking me how Marshall is. They want to know where Marshall's at, when is Marshall going to be up, does Marshall have any news for us? And after that, it's usually about Mark Mitchell. They want to know if Mark's still in Europe, if he's gotten married, if he's back. And I've noticed if some of them have been on the compound or over on the annex, they want to know is Tim over on the compound teaching. They want to know is Chuck over on the compound teaching. And I see these men gravitate towards those who are coming up and who are worshiping God with them. And sometimes if you're on the compound, we might take communion into some of the units. And there you see the environment a lot of these guys are exposed to when they're not in worship. And when you see that, you understand why. They're wanting to know, does Marshall have any words for them? They're wanting these men to be up there with them. Because those environments, and you saw on the screen with the yellow, we're blessed with the opportunities we have. There's a lot of white where we're not up there with them, where they're exposed to men who not have the same beliefs that they do. So if you ask me what I see at the prison, I think the best way to describe it is in Matthew chapter 9, verse 37. Christ says, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. What I see at the prison, and this might be sad to say, but and of all the U.S. and especially our community, what I see at the prison is a congregation of men or people that are eager to learn about God, that have a desire to worship, that you don't see in a lot of other places, that aren't going to be willing to hear what you have to say about God. And we see that at the prison. And even if you're not willing to go up to be there in person, I think it's a blessing what God's put in our backyard and the opportunities we have. And like Marshall said, even if you're not up there in person, interacting with these men, I can imagine the environment they're in, receiving a letter of encouragement, and what that must do to them. So it certainly may seem like a lot driving up there every Sunday, especially if you have children. Once you're up there and once you're around these men and you leave, it's not work. It truly isn't. I often feel a little selfish leaving there because I feel like I've gotten more from these men than they've gotten from me. What I really wanted you to think about is this is one of the best opportunities we have in our community to spread the gospel. And if you don't want to do it in person, if you don't want to drive up there, there are plenty of opportunities we have to assist these men and to spread God's word among them. Marshall, thank you. Jim?
Well, as Marshall mentioned, this is going to be kind of a recruiting effort. Mine is going to be recruiting people who perhaps fit more closely the mold that I fit in. And when you hear my comments, perhaps you'll understand. But as Huston said, there are numerous ways in which we can be involved and we can assist in helping those that are involved in the correctional system. I want to give you kind of a sense of how you can do that on a smaller scale. And I'm going to do that by sharing with you two, maybe three things that I have been involved in that aren't the large group. They're not the seminars, they're not the classes, and they're not the worship service. But yet, they are vital, they're important. And so you may be like me, you might say, I'd love to, but I just don't think I can present a lesson at a worship service. What I'm gonna suggest in detail for you are things that I've learned that I can do because I don't feel comfortable presenting lessons. But I do feel comfortable in doing the things that I'm going to tell you about. One of the things that we're asked to do quite often as volunteers is to assist TPOM in their application interviews. They will get an application mailed to them from an inmate who is soon to be paroled or flattened out. And they would like to be involved in the transition program that TPOM offers. So TPOM asked some of us volunteers if we would do about an hour and a half interview. And so in an hour and a half time, we asked them pretty much a set script of questions that TPOM wants responses to. And they basically have us go back to your early childhood days or your youth days and bring forward the things that have kind of been an impact or a cause and circumstance for where you might be today. And I want to tell you about an interview that Marshall and I did just a week or two ago. We interviewed a 30-year-old man who is from a rural county in the state of Tennessee. Again, in asking about his early years, he said he was a good student until about the 10th grade. And then he fell in with the wrong crowd, and that wrong crowd eventually introduced him into marijuana while in high school. By the time he was in his early 20s, he had moved from marijuana to meth. And eventually he committed an offense and was sentenced. But But we're interviewing him now when he's 30 years old and he's coming up for parole, and he wants to do everything that he can to see that he makes a smooth transition and the rest of his life goes in a completely different direction from what his early years had done. Again, that's something that I can do. I can go with Marshall or Tim or someone else, and I can have an hour and a half conversation with someone without feeling the stress of I'm the one who's got to present a big lesson. It's a small group setting. It's you and perhaps another volunteer and the person you're interviewing. My spiel is that if you're available and you're willing, you can do that. I promise you, you can do that, okay? Second thing that we quite often do is we conduct what's termed ministerial visits. And these visits are done with someone where they are located for any number of reasons. The best of which, of course, is that they've indicated an interest in being baptized, or they have a question about being baptized. But sometimes it's just an issue that, quite frankly, they would just like to be able to talk to someone who would listen. And so sometimes that's what we do. Tell you about a ministerial visit again that Marshall and I did a while back. It was with an inmate who was baptized into Christ while he was incarcerated. And from that time forward, he had been active and faithful in the classes and the worship services. And then he was recently turned down for parole. And shortly after that, he began to be noticeably absent from services. And when we would, whoever might be there for class or service, would ask others about him, he said, well, he's not feeling well, or he's under the weather. And so a ministerial visit was approved, and during that, again, in having about an hour and a half conversation, we were able to flesh out what was the problem, what had changed. And you find out these things about the men and also our ladies when they're doing DRC and talking with the women there. You find out things that you wouldn't have even thought might be a complication. For him, he had been having limited contact with his two twin daughters through his mother, who lived in the same general vicinity as the mother who had the two daughters. The two daughters were living with the mother. So he had been able to have some contact through his mother with his children. Then, for a reason we do not know, the mother said, no longer do I want my mother-in-law to have contact and to be coming in contact with my daughters. So he had, in essence, lost his contact with his twin daughters. Marshall and I didn't think that having been turned down on parole was the problem, but we couldn't think of why had he changed so. Again, this was a two-on-one conversation. It could be a one-on-one conversation. And you get to just do it at your own pace, and you get to know people in a small setting. And I'm suggesting these are ways that you can do that without having to be burdened as I would feel to present a 30-minute sermon. Thirdly, which has already kind of been mentioned, the DRC, which is located out in Boone's Creek, but soon to be moved over onto the Bristol Highway. We have two things going on there that has been mentioned. One is every Thursday morning there is a short devo, and then at 1 o'clock in the afternoon there is an hour-long Bible study, again for both women and men. I have been involved in that a few times when perhaps Steve Ingram, who does the men's, was unable to, and I understand there's a rotation of ladies here in the congregation who handle the women's Bible study. But the Devo starts at 8-ish on Thursday mornings. I say 8-ish because every morning the first thing they do is when they get there, they meet in a room to find out any announcements or anything that's going to happen or they need to do. And sometimes those announcements and all of that carries on, and maybe they don't get actually to the Devo till 20 after 8, and the Devo has to end promptly at 8:30. And for a while that bothered me. It began to bother me because I've got a half an hour, but it's being turned into 10 minutes or so. And I mentioned it to Tim Hall once when we were going to Mountain City, I believe. I said, you know, I don't really know how to feel about this. And he made such an important point to me that it just went over my head. He said, just being there says so much. It says you care, even if you only have 5 or 10 minutes to share with them. If they are willing to come in for Bible study, for a short devotional, they appreciate you being there. Quickly, the DRC, again, it's primarily young adults who have offended normally with alcohol or drugs, and yet they're not yet to that point that they've crossed over the line and now prison, they now have a prison sentence. But it's more of an opportunity and in some cases a requirement that they participate in the programs at the Daily Reporting Center. But the worship service, the Bible study, and the Devo that we have are not mandatory. There are everything else they pretty much have to be involved in and be on time, but the Bible study and the Devos, they do not. In every case of these three that I've mentioned to you, everyone that we deal with is in the system because they made some bad or poor choices. But everyone that we deal with now, they have since passed and moved on beyond that. They are making good decisions. They're making good choices. They choose to be involved in the short Devo. They choose to be in the hour-long Bible study. It's their choice. They don't have to be. And again, these are fairly small group sessions. And again, for me, I'm comfortable. I'm comfortable being there as opposed to trying to speak to 30, 50, 100 people. I can talk to someone one-on-one, take my time, and over time I'll build rapport and I'll get close and they will feel comfortable sharing with me things, and you will find that to be the case as well. I want to share with you two verses, both out of Hebrews chapter 13. The first part of Hebrews 13 and verse 3 says, "Remember those in prison as though in prison with them." And then in verse 16 of Hebrews 13, Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. We can do good by sharing what we have. And these are simple things. It can be a smile, a quiet ear to listen, a kind word, our pen pals, a note of encouragement, or a prayer. We as Christians have the responsibility to share God's love. And we can do that if we will decide that we are willing and we're able. So that's enough on the recruiting, but I did want to share with you, for those of you that said, well, no, I can't teach a seminar, I can't teach a class, but you can have a conversation with someone in a very small group.
I have made some very dear friends in my time working up at Mountain City. And if you know what a bro hug is, I do more bro hugs in Mountain City than anywhere else on earth, quite a few of them, to be honest. This fella, Rodney Bailey, I met not a year and a half ago, maybe, but the first time I met him, I knew this guy was special. Part of that is because he was already a brother in Christ. He was raised in the Church of Christ at Rogersville. But also, when he came in, he had the mindset, I'm going to do this. I'm going to make changes in my life. I'm going to get the Lord back on my side, and I'm going to do better. And believe me, he has done just that. He was telling me just a little bit ago, it was about 6 months to the day that he walked out of Mountain City, and we drove him down to Johnson City. Steve Ingram took him down to Knoxville, and then from there, the representatives of Tennessee Prison Outreach Ministry took him on to Nashville. And he's been there for 6 months now. He quickly got a job in Nashville. He is just doing really well. And I asked him if he'd say a few words. He's really nervous about speaking in front of people. I said, these are good folks. So, Rodney, if you want to say a little bit, please do.
Well, I'm not a public speaker, but I just want to say thank you to everybody. You know, prison's a really hopeless environment. I was incarcerated 5.5 years. I made it to Northeast for the last year and 7 months, and getting to know these guys and the programs, there's not much opportunity for education in prison. There's, you know, the state programs, they're kind of a joke. Nobody really takes them serious. These guys do, you know. And so thank you to all of you all, and I appreciate it. And that's about all I got. I'm not good at public speaking, but it's very beneficial. It's been a blessing to know you guys. They're the ones that told me about T-Palm, and I think that's what helped me make parole. So I owe a great deal of my success to you all. I appreciate it.
Let's demonstrate a bro hug.
For sure.
We love this guy.
Love you guys.
Yes.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Hopefully you'll meet Rodney when we're finished here in just a little bit. He is here tonight with his two sons, Andrew and Logan, and his mother, Brenda, who is a member of the church there at Rogersville as well. They are here, and we're thankful they took the time to come and join us. And we just want you to know, there are some really, really genuine people that want help. And Rodney is our poster child for that. He just exemplifies every reason we go up there. And we thank God for him, and we know there's a lot of good things in his future. I want to finish by reading a passage in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and this is down around verse 16. 2 Timothy 4, 16, we'll read two or three verses. And did you have more to say after? Okay. Paul, and this is very likely the last letter he wrote before he was executed. He said, at my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. And we hear that a lot from the men that we work with. Don't think I ever heard it from Rodney. In fact, he had some great support from the church there in Rogersville. But a lot of the men, one man in particular said, my family moved and they didn't tell me where. I mean, he has no one now. Paul said, at my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And that's the message I think we all want to hear, because we're all in a bad spot living in this world of sin. Our sentence is sure. Because we have sinned, we are facing an eternity of doom. But the Lord will stand by us. The Lord will release us from our bondage. And the Lord will always be there for us. And as we've said several times tonight, we're hoping others of you will say, well, I'd like to be there for them as well. And we'll talk with you if you'd like to learn more about it. But right now, we just want to encourage you, if you're not yet on the Lord's side, if you don't yet have him in your corner, we urge you to put him on in the act of baptism. If you believe he is God's son, ready to repent of your sins, ready to confess him before others, tonight, let's do that. Let's be released from that sentence of eternal torment. And if you've done that and yet you've not been faithful, let's take care of that by repenting of sin and asking for forgiveness. If we can help you, come as we stand and sing.